Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Short Commute Podcast. I am here with Zach in Zach's office / recording studio.
This feels backwards.
And today we switched it around a little because Zach had the opportunity to preach this past Sunday, did a wonderful job introducing the time of the judges, and the passage that he used was Ruth chapter 1. And I thought that we could spend a little bit of time today getting a sermon recap and touching on some of the interesting things that Zach did in that sermon. And I guess the first thing I want to talk about this morning is just the sermon illustration that you used with the microscope and the way that a microscope works, and talking about how there are different aspects to scripture and different things to look for, and I suppose figuratively we use different lenses to get to those things, and also the light that is required for a microscope to work well is a perfect analogy to the work of the Holy Spirit in illuminating scripture. And so where'd you come up with that awesome example, Zach?
I got asked that by some other people, and it's really backwards because I had most of the sermon written, and it wasn't until after I came up with the title that I came up with the image thing. So we had talked ahead of time, and you said we were starting this series on the judges, and that an appropriate place to start maybe would be Ruth, which is a story that occurs during the time of the judges. That was verse 1, in the times the judges ruled. And so as I was going about preparing, I was thinking about a title, and I just thought a nice title was Judges Under a Microscope. It was a zoomed-in look. To be honest, the sermon wasn't all that well organized, and so I was trying to think of a way to organize it better and thought, well, let's lean into the microscope analogy to make this connection to the upcoming series. I've never been someone who's strong in the sciences, so the more I learned about the microscope, the compound microscope, the more that it fit really well. And you have the careful treatment, and the light thing was really nice. And so it was a nice image when it was all said and done.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And so now let's dig into the sermon, because you went some different ways on a few things. And the first thing that I wanted to bring up, I thought it was interesting, and I guess I'll just frame this by the way that I've always understood Ruth's relationship to the book of Judges. Ruth comes after the book of Judges. And Judges is this, you know, this time where there's this vicious cycle of the people turning away from God and then being oppressed and crying out, and then a judge is raised up and the people kind of return to the Lord and there's peace for a little while, and then it all happens again. And I always kind of read Ruth as, after this record of this terrible time in the history of God's people, Ruth is kind of this breath of fresh air saying, but you know, it wasn't all bad. God was still working, you know, despite this vicious cycle. You took it a little bit different way, and you used Ruth as illustrative of the actual time period of the judges, which is, it's not an opposite way of thinking, but it's a different way of thinking. And the way you went with it is that, you know, for this family, obviously the time of the judges with its ups and downs affected people in both, you know, negative and positive ways at different times in the cycle. And so in that sense, you're right that Ruth is kind of illustrative of that time period. But you have anything to add to that part of it?
It certainly is a story about how God is working even in the midst of the oppression, the sinfulness, the need for repentance that we see in the cycle. But as we kind of zoomed in to stick with the metaphor, you kind of see that the path that Naomi forges for their family is really almost opposite of what the nation of Israel is dealing with. So we see early on in verse 1 that there's a famine. So we read into that they're in the oppression stage of that cycle during the time of the judges. And their family is having some hardship because they decide to move away. So they must be in some sort of oppression in their own family. They must be hungry because of this famine, because they need to go elsewhere to find food. But as the rest of Israel returns to peace, as the cycle keeps spinning, things get worse for Naomi and her family.
Right.
And so she leaves as Naomi, which means pleasant. She comes back. She says, call me Mara, which means bitter. So everyone else has gone from famine to the way the chapter ends is time of harvest. So they've gone from famine to harvest, and she's gone from pleasant to bitter. And so it's this way of saying, yes, well, on a national scale, we have this cycle that doesn't include each and every individual. We all have these different struggles and challenges of our own on top of what communally we navigate.
Yeah, that's interesting because Naomi actually says, I went away full, but God brought me back empty, even though she left in a time of famine and she came back in a time of abundance and harvest. So yeah, that's perfect.
Full and empty. She even says, if there was hope for me, like that's the depth of her hopefulness that she says,
right.
If there was, as if to say, there is no hope for me. I am hopeless.
Sure. So another thing, and I know you agonized about this, but this kind of goes hand in glove with what we were just talking about. You use the phrase that Naomi and, well, Elimelech's family, including Naomi, they walked away from God's promises in going to Moab. And I know you agonized over that because we talked about it. But I think that the way that you express that, you know, you don't have to question that. Are you still there after having let this passage work on you and after having preached it?
You just wanted to be careful that, and we were careful when we wrote the script for our intro video to say their sin led to oppression. That it kind of goes hand in hand, that our sinfulness causes a lot of the hardship that we see in the world. But what I wanted to be careful about was not saying these people died or these hardships happened because of some sin Naomi had committed. I didn't want to give that impression because that it's not that kind of hand-in-hand relationship. So that's what made me nervous about setting the stage that way. But there is something very striking about leaving the promised land of God to try to find blessing in a place like Moab that has no relationship with God.
Yeah, doesn't recognize God. So finally, last thing I want to talk to you about, because I don't know how we're doing on time. Usually the Christ figure in the story of Ruth is Boaz, and he's got the official title, Kinsman Redeemer. Mm-hmm. And I thought that you beautifully kind of drew out the fact that Ruth herself is a wonderful Christ figure in this story, and I couldn't agree more. And so any further thoughts on that?
Do you want me to cite my source, which is Pastor Andrew Zylstra of Oostburg?
Don't get me in trouble. I presented that to Coffee Break a few weeks ago, that same thought.
Well, part of that comes with only taking chapter one and not taking the whole story is you don't have Boaz in any teaching and any program we have here. We want to get to the gospel. I mean, we want to find Jesus and we want to land in a place where we're talking about God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in chapter one, you have no Boaz.
Sure.
So you say, who exists as the Christ figure here? What's the story about? Where do we find Jesus in the story about hopelessness?
Right.
And Ruth really, and especially in that famous statement she gives, really echoes a lot of things that Jesus made really full for us Gentile people. And then as you kind of look at Ruth as a Christ figure and read the rest of the story, you kind of realize she might be a better example of Christ than Boaz in most cases.
Yeah. You know, the tipping point for me, as you read the story face value, you don't get a sense that Boaz doing what he did, which was the noble and honorable thing, but you don't get the sense that it cost him anything.
No, yeah.
You don't get the sense that he sacrificed anything. Ruth, on the other hand, she gives up her whole potential life in Moab with her family and her people to be with Naomi. She gives up her dignity, time and energy to go and glean from the fields and to do the work and to, you know, to make that sacrifice. Uh-huh. And also when you get to that threshing floor scene, I believe in chapter 3, also she demeans herself right. in such a way that she is going to the threshing floor, and if she gets caught, you know, it's going to be her reputation completely ruined. Yeah. And she takes that risk for her love of Naomi. And so when you talk about that aspect of sacrifice, I think that Ruth just beautifully illustrates the Christ figure.
You had shown how Ruth is almost more of a story about Naomi than it is Ruth, because we start with Naomi's hopelessness and we end with, I think the verse is, so Naomi had a son
sure.
or something. And you're like, no, Ruth had the son. But when you realize the story's about Naomi going from a place of hopelessness to a place of restoration, it's maybe Ruth who provides that restoration more than anyone else.
Right. And Naomi,
as an example of God's hand at work.
Right. And Naomi, obviously, start to finish, represents Israel.
Yeah.
Ruth is an outsider.
Yeah.
Naomi
yeah.
represents Israel. Yeah. There's no question in that. And so Ruth, yes, comes in along with Boaz, and perhaps even more so as a Christ figure. But anyway, I want to say well done on Sunday. I really enjoyed the sermon, and
thank
I heard a lot
you.
Of great comments. And thank you all for being with us this week. And we are going to let it go because we're, I don't know how we are on time, but we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.